All right, B-Lo, we're live.
May I speak?
You can speak. We're live. It's been a long time since I got to say that.
No kidding. I haven't talked to you in a while.
I am looking at like a full-blown setup. So just so you know, B-Lo and I, like I said before, we look at each other as we record the podcast. And for the first time ever,
not by choice. Standing.
He's standing because he has old man back problems, but it's full-on B-Lo in my face right now.
Listen, I've always had the standing desk, but today I decided to stand all day because I want to promote the circulation in my legs instead of sitting all day long.
Before we get into our catch-up, do you get benefits out of that? Because I got a stand-up desk at work, too, and I do. What do you feel by standing all day? Do you feel like it's the placebo effect, like you're doing something to more healthy for your body, or do you actually feel better?
I feel better because I don't have as much tightness in my legs. I get up and stretch anyway. I don't have as much – I got to take this headphone off. I don't have as much tightness in my legs. I'm not as fatigued at the end of the day. I've noticed that. That's one of the big things that I've noticed is I don't get as fatigued throughout the day. And I have one of these mats. The mat is not a flat mat. It's an uneven mat, which promotes you to keep moving around. So, and then also when I stand up, when I'm on calls or if I'm working, I can do some stretching. I can do I used to have some dumbbells here and I used to, work out a little bit while I was standing here.
I've seen you bust out the dumbbells during a television show once or twice before for no reason. So you spend a lot of time at your desk. What percent do you think you stand up? Do you think you stand more than you sit?
For a while there, I was probably standing a good 80% of the day. And then I gradually decreased that. But today I stood the entire day. When I first started doing it, it was a little difficult because I think your body has to get used to it because I did, have back, issues. Not to say I had back issues, but I noticed it was just kind of like a strain from standing all day. But then the more you do it, it actually has the inverse effect when if you sit down, you become very uncomfortable. So
yeah, I agree. So I don't stand as much as I used to. I do at the beginning of the day to get my day going. Then in between meetings when I'm back at my desk, I'll stand probably up until lunchtime. And then I sit down to eat my meal at my desk and go back to more fucking meetings. And I end up sitting whenever I'm at my desk. But the majority of my day is spent in meetings now. It's a pain in the ass. It's been a long time since we talked, B-Lo.
I know.
We haven't recorded in about a month. Yeah, well, I think, obviously working, like I just said, traveling, a good relationship. If you listen to yesterday's podcast, I talked about my trip to Napa, and I'm sure you will have some questions about that.
I had the chance to talk about that, to listen to that, but we can talk about that. And I'm happy to see that you're still in a relationship. I have to admit that I'm surprised. we do have the over-under going, but I won't tell you what that is. So there's a big bet on that going on.
Yeah, you and a mutual friend that we don't speak about on the podcast when they had the opportunity to be a part of this podcast, you guys aren't the only ones that are surprised. Not surprised how long I'm going in this relationship, but I think you, like most people, pointed out to me, I'm noticeably different, the man I am now in a relationship than the person I was before. And again, I don't think it's just so much just a relationship. I've gone through a lot the last couple of years, but I do see that I react to things a lot differently. I handle things a lot differently. I don't participate in group chats at a certain attitude. I don't share the memes, certain memes like I used to anymore. You could say that, and we'll get into the streak in a second, our little club that we have going on Snapchat. I really don't participate in that anymore. Yeah, I'm kind of like a little bit of a different person.
Is that because of the relationship or because of your age? Because I think, there's so many things I could talk about now that just spun from that. As you get older, I think you have a different level of, I don't want to say appreciation, but you kind of learn to realize what you want to react to and what you don't want to react to. I myself, to go with that, I understand exactly what you're saying. When you go into relationships, sometimes you do have a little more understanding and tolerance of things. I don't want to say tolerance, but a different understanding of other people's perspectives. So that's important. But I also think when you get older, I think you understand or you don't let things impact or bother you as much because it's not worth the time. And you learn that you can only control things that you control. And you bubble. You become what you have in your bubble and who you allow in your bubble. So if you only allow positivity and peace and harmony, I guess, as you can say, no, I'm not saying peace and harmony, like everything's, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you cut out a lot of negativity and hostility, you actually become more relaxed and peaceful. Speaking of which, you know what, we talked about this briefly earlier, but you know, I've been doing quite a bit of traveling myself, and I read on the plane the other day, it's a great book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
I great saw book. The picture.
I've read that. Yeah, and I've been doing a lot of pictures. I'm back into my my photography thing. It's a great book. It's a great book, and a lot of people, you know, I tell people, I'm like, oh, that's a perfect book for you. And I'm like, you know what? It's not like, oh, I don't, you read the book, right?
No. I've heard good things.
Read the book. It's a very good book. It's a rather quick read. I think it's 200 pages, and it's not what people would think, like, oh yeah, you're just going to be like, oh, fuck this or fuck that. It's actually not like that at all. It actually opened up my eyes to several things. Some things I already knew, but it opened up my eyes to a different perspective of some things. And then it's not by the same author, but they lumped them together because this author has another series. And I ordered the book, and it came in today. He has several series. It's like Unfuck Yourself. So I'm going to read that too, and I'll let you know how that goes.
You know, but, I want to back up to something that you just said about being in a bubble. But before we do that, because let's go in the numerical order, the fans, the listeners, they've been waiting. You and I have not given an update on the streak. We spent the whole summer coming and going and ending the streak off and on, travel, work, whatever. We fucked it up a lot. Again, let me remind people, because I have to do it. It's been a long time since I reminded them. We initially did this a year and a half ago. We had a 404-day. Snapchat fucked us. We started it over again. We got up to 140-something days. We both went away. We fucked it up. We tried it again. We fucked it up. We tried it again. We fucked it up. So the Snapchat streak of you and I every day snapping each other, two grown men, what is the streak at as of this recording, October 30th? It'll be up tomorrow on October 31st. So as of this recording, what is the streak currently at?
It's 43 days. But I do not know the day that we started because of all of this back and forth and missing days and the like. So
43 days. Let me tell you this. My girlfriend and I, 1 week ahead of that streak, we have 50 days. I have one longer streak that she and I have managed to keep going every day.
That's good. I'm happy. I want to hang out with you guys again. When you're coming up to...
We'll do it. We'll do that again. We'll definitely get up there at some point. But the bubble thing. Now, this is not recorded. This is not rehearsed. I'm glad you brought that up. Something I've noticed about myself in this relationship, in a relationship, a longer relationship than I've usually been in. You're right. Earlier, you said a few things. There's a bunch of factors. The age, what I've been through, how happy I am, how much in love it's safe to say I am in this relationship, how things are going in my life, focusing on my health. I got to ask you something about a bubble. You know me really well. I know a lot of people, but there's very few people that I let into every aspect of my life. And I keep my circle really, really fucking small. I think I got a huge circle, but very small the people I care about. You know, one thing I've noticed, I wanted to run this by you, somebody who's, you know, I not just consider you a co-host, but a pretty good friend of mine, a brother of mine, someone who has a lot of wisdom in life. Something I've noticed for the longest time, when I was, again, let's just say I lived my life single for the majority of my life. There have been long-term relationships. There have been some I casually kept girls at a distance. I would not bring around my closest friends and family. Therefore, certain people would not invite me to certain things, right? It's safe to say a lot of my friends have moved on to become married. They have kids. And they all have like their little cliques. They do married trips together with other couples. They do these family trips together with other families. And for a while, I felt like some of these people, I've been left outside of their circle. And now that I'm in a more serious relationship, that a lot of people have seen this, few of these people have met my girlfriend, I feel like, and I don't know how to truly feel, people are now inviting me to things they never did before. They are now inviting me to dinner more, these group dinners, or, oh, I get a lot of, we want to see you again. We want to see you too. It's we want to see you, want to see us. I never got a lot of that as a single guy. They don't want to bring the flavor of the week around, but my bubble that I built, I feel like a lot of people now who've been at a distance for the last few years are now trying to bring me in because they see me as relationship tea, not single tea. And I'm not too sure, my man, how I feel about that, because it's like,
well,
you didn't want me around before. Now it's like, You want me to come around? Here's how far it's going. These people, some of them have not met my girlfriend yet, and they're sending her Facebook requests. They haven't met her in person yet. And it's like they're trying to loop her into this part, and I'm like, I'm not even close to these people anymore. How do you think I should react to that? What do you think about this? It's weird.
Facebook, it's really weird. Facebook is lame. I have something else I bought that I want to talk to you about. All right, go back to your bubble. A little bit different than a bubble. You do become who you surround, but the topic that you have at hand, maybe it was such just a miserable prick and nobody wanted you around, and now you become a nice and like, oh, he's actually not that bad.
You think I was miserable or just more of an asshole? I don't think I was ever miserable. I think I wasn't. I was an asshole at times.
Well, asshole, miserable, same word. But I mean, again, it could be that if people realize that, you know, maybe your person, I don't want to say your personality is different, or maybe you want to do different types of activities, because there is a point where bringing someone around at certain types of events, like, I mean, do you want to go and have like a nice romantic dinner and go like on a little sleigh ride as a single dude with another couple? Or do you want to just go with, you know, a bunch of couples together, because then that way people can have multiple conversations and things. I mean, I go a lot of different ways because it depends on who those people are and the events that you are attending. I can't say it's a one size fits all when it comes to that, but I do think that once you become into a relationship, you have accessibility to other people in relationships. It's just like people who have small kids. If you notice, a lot of people who have small kids gravitate to other people who have small kids because there's a commonality there. Because then they're going to be doing more like kid things. Because again, it's like you and your girlfriend. I want to talk about that word in a second as well. Because somebody had said something to me one time at one point when it comes to the introductions. You know, because it's, you're less likely to want to go to like, you know, Chuck E. Cheese with, you know, outside of like birthday parties and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if I had a small child and a woman in my life, with that I had the child with, and you didn't, and you had a woman or a man in your life, and I said, oh, let's go to Chuck E. Cheese, and my kid wants to go play in the balls. You know, you're not going to have a good time or appreciate it the same if you're not related to the kid or it's not a party. So I think people of like lifestyles gravitate together. So I think some of that whole bubble thing that you're talking about, I wouldn't read into it too deeply. I think some of it's situational, but I also, you know, as far as either you progress to change in life, but also, you know, people who birds of a feather flock together is actually somewhat of what I would give you there.
Yeah. No.
Does that answer your question?
It does.
But your personality does change by your bubble. Like I've always said, it's like, you know, I personally have like cut down on like paying attention to the news because it's just all bullshit. And you just become more peaceful and at peace. Now go back to the girlfriend term, please. So if someone was to introduce you, mm-hmm. All right, use your situation, you said your girlfriend. Is it a negative connotation when someone's at a certain age to call them a girlfriend? I mean, because she's not really a girl, she's a woman. And just like you're a boyfriend, that person's not really a boy, they're a man. So how do you introduce them? Do you introduce them as my significant other? Do you introduce them? I'm just saying, what are the terms, what are the words that people could talk about? Because, you know, some people feel that it's, I don't say condescending, but it's not so accurate to say, oh, this is a boy, he's my friend. I mean, when you're 60 years old, you can say, oh, this is my boyfriend, you know, my girlfriend.
I mean, again, if you're in a relationship and you're not engaged, you know, you wouldn't say fiance because you're not engaged. If you're not married, you wouldn't say my wife, my husband. You come of a certain age. Me, I'm 42. It's, I mean, what are you going to say? I think significant other sounds like a term that's written on paper. And I don't think I would ever say that out loud. I would never say this is so-and-so my significant other. That sounds like, I don't know, one of like a douchebag thing to say. And I just wouldn't like that term. But, you know, she introduces me as her boyfriend, introduced her as my girlfriend regardless of age. But I think that kind of goes together. Even if you were 60-something years old, if you're not engaged or married, I think it's something that you say. It's not a formal title, but – and sometimes I just say this is her – you know, I say her name and she's with me. And I think people kind of know that I was bringing my girlfriend around. I don't need to say the girlfriend. Like if I'm bringing her around, she's somebody I'm with, you know, you treat her accordingly. But I hear what you're saying. I think you get to a certain age, but there's no other term for it.
I'm just asking the question. I'm not saying it's my, but I'm just saying I had a conversation with somebody at one point and that topic came up. It is very tough because like, what do you say? I think, you know, in our society, I'm trying to put my hat on my headphones. It looks kind of silly. I think that it's just something that came up. It is a tough thing to see. And I don't think we actually do have a term because like you said, I think you have like boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, wife, spouse, you know, terms like that. So that's interesting.
Well, you know what? That indirectly brought us over to Strictly Dickly, the topics of topics that you and I, two grown men, give a point of view and our take on all things relationship and lifestyle that are affiliated with dating and romance and relationships. So since we already started Strictly Dickly, obviously I talked about my Napa trip on the podcast solo by myself. Obviously I didn't have you around to ask questions or how that went, but I think you more than anyone, not just being, again, my co-host, but also a friend, you kind of know my record of traveling with women in the past.
So she hasn't broken up with you yet, is what you're telling me.
Surprisingly, no. You know what? Here's how good that – I'll talk a little bit more about Napa, and again, all due respect with her, I don't want to reveal too many details of her because I got to keep her in mind. But not only was Napa so great, we did San Fran and Napa, but we had a few extra days when we came back and we want to go right back to the office. I started booking shit that the two of us wanted to do for the extended weekend. Like, we came back on that Thursday, and that Friday night I did the Museum of Fine Arts. I've been a member there for a while. We did this MFA late night. Really cool thing to do. Bunch of music, great food, artwork. It goes from like 8 to 2 a.m. People of different stature and ages and races all come together, and everybody's just having a really good time. Something I've never done before, we'll definitely do again. So we did that, and then we got to the Bruins game. We went to our first – she never went to the Bruins before. So we had our first Bruins game on Saturday night. And then Sunday, we spent the day together, and it was just like we didn't want the vacation to end. And all week we've been talking and texting, obviously saying, I wish we were still back in Napa. So, yeah, usually the breakup happens on the vacation or right at the end. And she and I both wanted this to continue. And so I was a little bit shocked, too, that I'm still in a relationship. And, again, maybe it goes to show how much I've changed and grown or how much I'm into her in this relationship that I wasn't into the others, that's for sure. And it just worked. And that was probably the best – relationship, dating, romantic vacation of my life. And it was good. So much that I'm very relaxed, very happy, and we didn't want it to end.
No, that's good. And like I said before, a lot of people go, you know, I didn't want to go into this anyway because it's kind of a repeat of something we spoke about before. I think it's good, and I'm happy to hear that you had a nice vacation, that you guys enjoyed it. You were able to relax and do some activities that are fun. It's important. That's why it's important to be with the right person, I think, in a relationship, that you can do those types of things together and enjoy them and not have any tension, anxiety, or stress. It goes with, like, a lot of people that are in relationships for the wrong reasons, and they're like, oh, because they're worried about being alone, whereas they don't realize, you know, get into a relationship that's good. And once you're in a relationship that's good, then you realize how easy it is, right? Because it's not to say it's easy because, oh yeah, I don't have to do anything, I don't care about them. It's easy because you're not stressed out, you're not worried, you're not walking on eggshells, you're not fighting, you're not arguing, you know, you don't have that, you know, rain cloud above your head. You just kind of just go and do your thing, and you can do activities that you like and enjoy, and in turn, you have a better relationship because of it. And, you know, you're doing it, you know, because you want to be you, not because, you know, you're worried about keeping the person around.
You know, yeah, it was like
kind of like doing you.
No, again, it was a world difference when I was 35 and brought a 21-year-old to Paris. I had no desire to be in a relationship with that girl. I was just having fun, and she lost her shit out there. And then the other one where we went
Dude,
away.
You could take a 21-year-old. You didn't have to take her to Paris to have a good time. I know plenty of places.
Oh, I was already having a good time. I just wanted to go to Paris. And I figured she would accompany me, and it'd be casual. It was silly of me to think that it was going to be casual. But it's like those things where with her and I just now on this trip, it's like, you're right. I've noticed things in the past when I've been, even short-term trips, day trips, whatever, where you seem to like, one of us would, I'm not saying anybody, I'm not saying this was me or any girl I've dated in the past, but couples in general, when they travel, right, here's things I've noticed either through friends or on my own, or not just couples, even you casually go with someone. Somebody tends to nitpick, oh, we're doing all the things you want to do. Least attention, like we're just saying. Or this is a preview of what it's going to be like living together. Well, really, it's not. We're away. We're in a hotel. Or why did we eat this? Or why did you want to eat that? Or you drank too much? Or you didn't drink enough? You're not having a good time? What's on your mind? The insecurities come in. None of that happened on this vacation. It wasn't about, that's like, good. We did things together and you felt good about it. And there was also, like, the activities, the food, the drinking. But let me just level set this. It's probably, and I would have thought Paris would have been the same thing. I don't know how anybody could have a bad time and bitch and fight in Paris. But I don't think it's possible to complain or bitch in Napa, man. It's sunny all day long. The weather's beautiful. It's like being in a fucking painting. It's like Italy and California had a baby. and you're just going around and you're wine drunk all day and you're happy, you're eating good food, you're having good wine. It was a different take. I think the environment really helped for being our first vacation together, but I highly recommend it. I did it on the podcast today to anybody listening now too, just the future state Napa. I really wish we did it for, I probably wouldn't have as much fun if I, again, going out single on my 40th, but I'm glad I got to experience it in a relationship for the first time.
I think you get a different appreciation of things when you're in a relationship. That's good. Glad you had a good time. And I'm glad that she's still around and hopefully we can get out. So you went away with her, right? Now I'll take, so did you bust ass in front of her? Like you with her 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? When in a relationship is it okay to bust ass?
All right. So
These are questions that, you know, people talk about. I never talk about it, but is it appropriate to bust ass and when and how soon? It's a natural body function. Some people don't do it in front of other people. I can't think that I've done it unless, you know, when I was awake. But
let me ask you that real quick. Hold on.
Hold on. I asked a question.
No, you're right. I'll answer. But you hit something right there when you were awake. Maybe you were with a girl and you can't control yourself when you're sleeping. Now, what if that happens? That's one thing. It's a plan to talk about it and where you feel comfortable pass gas knowingly when you're awake. But you know the body, because I'll get into this in a second. Sometimes the body releases gas in its rest.
Women do it too. I know. Sleep. I understand. And I recently had a conversation.
Do you say, if you're not ready yet to have that conversation about that, like what if you're in month three or date two and you're sleeping over or you just hooked up, whatever it is, and one of you pass gas in the sleep, do you bring it up the next day? No, like that's something.
I don't think you bring it up because it's something that happens naturally. But I've been with people who've done it and they've brought it up and they said, oh, I woke myself up. I'm like, oh, I didn't even hear it. I was sleeping. So I can't honestly, I don't think, you know, you do have to be an adult. You have to be where it's not embarrassing. I mean, I guess if you're going to do something like that, because sometimes I guess maybe you have gas and you can't control it and you try to like squeeze one out,
well,
I guess.
All right. So let me get to my situation.
Sometimes it's a natural function that everybody does. So, but now I'm just asking because now you're on vacation. It's not like you're in a hotel room.
Yep.
Like now if you have to go to the bathroom, it's either like you're going to sneak to the bathroom downstairs. Oh. You're going to just send her out somewhere and then go to a restaurant. Like, right. How does that work?
I don't think she'll mind me talking about this. It's something she knows about, you know about by talking to the podcast. My health issue over the last couple of years with the reflux, with my heart rate and all that stuff too. I'm on meds that, you know, control some of that stuff, right? You know me at home. I'm on a really good diet. I got a guy that does meal prep for me. Yeah,
not anymore. Now that you're in a relationship, all you do is go out to eat. You go.
No, we're pretty good.
So don't tell me all this nonsense.
No, so I'm still on my stuff, not as adamant because I'm enjoying life with her, but I'm still doing the meal prep with my guy, just not as many meals. So anyway, either way, I'm on a certain
portion control,
certain diet when I'm home. When I go out with her, I am a certain diet when I'm home. On vacation, when you introduce those elements into my body, it's going to react a certain way. So,
no, I know. Trust me. I know.
You and I kind of, as men, again, we talk about our streak being on the fucking toilet, how it all started with two men.
I don't use it on the toilet with you at all.
You did. You sat like four the other fucking day on the toilet. Don't lie. Don't lie to the audience. Anyway, it's you and I have been talking on the down low of when it's a time to talk about, you know, when you pass gas or when you actually move your bowels, take a shit in front of the person you're dating. So as you just clearly pointed out, we're in a room, a hotel room. It's small. You're on top of each other. You're probably both awake at the same time. You're waking up in the morning. You're probably going to bed at the same time. You know, you're there together. You're going to the same places. You're eating. You're doing the same activities. So it weighs in on your body. At some point, you're going to have to go to the bathroom. So, and again, I don't think she'll mind me talking about this. In our room.
Even when you're drinking a lot of wine, that will.
I still get a little bit of the reflux. It's finally going away because I drank so much wine. It was worth it. But so our room in Napa in our hotel, it had, now if you ever come across one of these before, the fucking bathroom door was a sliding door. So it's never fully closed because there's about this much, 2 inches of a fucking gap. So you can hear every little fucking noise in the bathroom. You could hear the water splashing. You could hear the water being turned on. You could hear the tooting, the farting, you can hear the water running in the shower. It's like you're still in the same room because the door is not truly closed. So I had to have that conversation and say, look, we're on vacation. Obviously, the human body, I'm off my routine. It's doing something to me. You know what I'm going to be doing in there for a little while. I couldn't sneak it. And not only did I go in there and she's getting ready, but she could hear it. And it's like we started laughing about it because there was no privacy. So I don't know when normally is a good time to fit that in and have that conversation if there's a certain timetable about it. We will kind of force our hand on our vacation to address when is the time to pass wind or move your bowels in front of your significant other. We had no choice. So there
well,
you
that's
go.
Good that you that's good that you you ripped the Band-Aid off and you got it over with. And like I said, I think there's like a lot of things. There is no set time mm-hmm. to do a lot of things in a relationship. I think it's when you're comfortable, right? A lot of people say, when should you have sex? When should you do this? To me, I don't think there's a proper time for anything. It's when you're comfortable enough to do it, you know, to you know, for stuff like that, to open yourself up. Well, at least now you can do it at home, I guess, because you ripped the Band-Aid off. And yeah. Now I'm glad to know. I'm glad to know now that, you know, she knocks you out when she, you know, uses the bathroom, you know, after all that.
So that, and again, like I said, we're still together. So that didn't scare her away of, you know, the monstrosity that I could leave in a bathroom at times. So I guess, you know, we're still good, but you're right. It's also, even though that happens and it's been addressed, it's like, you obviously don't, you want to keep a certain, I don't know, essence about yourself. Like all of a sudden, now some people get in relationships, and we talk about this all the time. They let themselves go. They don't. Yeah. They don't do like the manscaping. They don't shave. The hygiene goes to shit. And like now you're farting all the time, burping all the time. You're not holding the door open anymore, man. That stuff always. You can't get too comfortable because there's a certain. I like being clean. I like a good hygiene. I like a woman that takes care of herself too. And I want that to continue. So just because you get to a certain level of comfortability in a relationship doesn't mean now you stop becoming a slack. Like you don't hit a pinnacle, a peak, and then start going down in your relationship.
No, I don't think you should. I think when it comes to like taking care of yourself, I mean, you know me, and I've been in relationships too, and it's, you never let yourself go. I mean, yes, it's difficult. You go on vacation. You have to let yourself. Yeah. I don't say you let yourself go, but you do something different than your routine, but you should definitely take care of yourself and you should always be polite and cordial to each other. Because you want the relationship to last. Like I told you, we always talked about this before. Relationships don't take work. They take energy and effort, right? You have to put effort into it. You have to water it. You have to make it grow. You have to continue to make it grow. If you just get into a relationship, you think it's fine there, then you'd be like, oh, these other miserable fucking people there that just like, oh, I'm with this person now. Fucking hate them, this and that. Yep. You know, I wish I was doing this or that. But you know what? Sometimes if you're with the right person, again, you have to be with the person that's right for you. It all works out and, you know, you're happy about it and you water it, you know, you take care of it. You polish it off. You shine it. You know, you keep it up on a pedestal. You don't, you know, let it tarnish.
Let me ask you this.
That happens in all different ways.
Tied to Strictly Dickly, right? You and I talked about like a lot of dating and in the past we addressed on the podcast of where like, at what point, you know, being a gentleman, you know, you pay, you offer to pay. At some point, you let her pay. She gets comfortable. You know, you start dating more and more, and she picks up a few things. And again, I put all that 2019 shit aside. I think, you know, as a gentleman, you try to do more, pay more. You know, that's just how I'm built, and I know how you are too. But at some point, the girl pays and stuff like that. On vacation, I'm not talking about my vacation specifically. But I can use myself as an example. How do you feel about, how does that carry over on vacation? For instance, there's cost. There's plane tickets, there's hotel rooms, there's rent the cars, there's several meals. Us, we bought a shit ton of wine. There are activities, there are hot air balloons. Oh, does that carry over? Like as a gentleman, do you go above and beyond to pay for a little bit more? Do you make it equal? Like that was something
I think here's my whole take on this stuff. And I think it is situational, right? And where I say it's situational, and I think this carries everywhere. I don't think it's a matter of the guy should always pay. I think people should respect each other. And you know more of some of the, I told you some of the scenarios that I've had recently. You know, I'm the type of guy that you go out, you just say, hey, let's just split it. I think when it comes to being in a relationship, I think it's, like I said, I think it's such what I was thinking of, it's due. I think I'm a guy that believes that sometimes it all comes out in the wash. I think if you're on vacation, if you want to do an event, you pick up the event, you take the event, the other person will pick up the next event. I don't think you keep score per se. I mean, if you want to, you know, I don't believe in keeping score in anything. It's like, hey, I want to do this. I want us to do it. Because then also where I say it's situational, it could be that you're making $500,000 a year and she's making, you know, $100,000 or vice versa. So, you know, you want to be able to do some of these activities because you want to enjoy and appreciate with the person with you with, then maybe sometimes, you pick those up. You know, it's not necessarily always the cost. To me, it's sometimes the intent or the intention, right? I mean, I think we spoke about this before. Like you talked about like someone like wanting to pay the bill or like, you know, seriously trying to pay the bill or not, you know what I mean? So on vacation, I think it kind of goes with that. I mean, there are certain things that you may be able to just say, hey, you know, situationally, do you pick up the plane tab or do you split, you know, you buy your own tickets? Do you split the hotel room down the middle or does somebody pick it up or pay more of it because the other one can't afford it? That's something you have to work out within your relationship. But I don't think that a person should be responsible for it all of the time, because then what ends up happening is you feel like you have a dependent.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and again, I don't go by the dollar amount per se. I go by, you know, hey, you know, shit, if you want to go out and have a nice gourmet meal and, you know, you make more than me and you want to take me, fine. But I'll pay next time we go get a pizza because I can afford that and I want to do that for you. You know, to me, that's the type of thing that's the most important.
No, I agree.
You know, and even I talk to you, you know, having even someone going, hey, you know, well, every other time we go out, we're going to alternate. But I don't care where we go, where we end up, what we do, we're going to take turns. You pay for dinner tonight, I'll pay for dinner the next time we go out. And that way you don't have that, no, oh, I want to pick this up, I want to pick this up. And I think we talked about it before. And sometimes if you want to make it clear, because if someone can't do it, you just say, hey, you know what, I want to take you out for sushi or I want to take you out for, you know, pizza or something. Then, you know, you go from there.
See, I knew you'd have a good take on that stuff. So before we get over, it is Halloween. I want to get into some Halloween themed stuff, give the listening audience some Halloween stuff. We've been talking a lot about me. What's been going on in your life? Do you have anything that you want to share? Usually there's a B-Lo-esque fucking story that gets dropped at some point.
I have some stuff just because we wanted to, you know, we started and we'll end up soon. I do have some stuff on my list because I've been keeping a list of things I wanted to talk about with you. But with it being Halloween, I want to jump into Halloween. But I do want to say one thing. I'll go into the Be the West thing. I won't talk about any relationship stuff because, you know, that's the one we want to talk about. I like to talk about the opinion stuff, the engaging stuff. Right? Now, I went to the gym the other morning.
You always have a gym story. Something always happens at the fucking gym.
It's not always having a gym story.
Always at the gym.
People like probably think like I'm going to be... You want to know something that somebody told me the other day?
Is it related to the gym?
No. It was related to, where was I? I don't know if I can say it.
You want to save that for a future podcast?
Yeah, we'll save it. We'll save it because it will tie into one of the other topics I told you I wanted to speak about. But no, okay. I'll stop with the gym stories after this and I'll go to the other points of my life. But I was in the gym the other morning. And I worked out and I wanted for my cardio session that day, I wanted to run, okay, on the treadmill. So I go to the gym early in the morning. The cardio deck was empty. So the front row has, I'll just say a number, approximate 15 treadmills. Okay. There was a woman on treadmill 14 running, and then I got on treadmill 2. So opposite ends.
Yep.
Okay. So I start my run. I'm running. I warmed up a little bit. I'm ready to start my run. I'm like, okay, I want to go, you know, 2 miles this morning because of this and that. This dude got on the treadmill next to me.
No.
When I say next to me, I'm saying number 3. This whole, like, I felt crowded because I'm up against, like, the bar. You know, it's like, it's a deck, right? You know, most gyms have the cardio deck where it's, like, a little bit elevated. You have the bars going around. So I was up against the bar, like, one treadmill. And this guy's next to me running. And I'm sitting there going, are you like fucking serious? Like, who does that? Right?
I can't stand
that. Not only that, I want to get into it and then we'll talk about it. Not only that, this guy started running and he stunk so bad that I couldn't breathe. And I really started getting sick. He was horrible with his odor. Now, I was about to say something I was about to say something.
But what would you say?
I didn't say anything. And I'm thinking myself, like, should I say something? Should I not say something? But I had to stop my run. Like, Riz, and I was just so frustrated and stopped. And, like, I was contemplating, do I just go over to another one? I was going to move to another treadmill. But then I'm like, you know what? You know how it is. Like, my vibe was just shot.
Yeah.
Right? I already had the tail end of my workout. I was done. And next time, I'm going to say something. I will say, why are you sitting right next to me and you stink to fucking holy hell? Why do people do that? I mean, when you go to the gym, why does someone have to be, like, right on top of you? It's not like there's one, you know how you have those, the Atlas machines or something like that where, like, you all work out together. Yeah. Like, maybe you have to get a little close because you want to, like, use this one piece of equipment and there's only that one and it's right next to somebody else. Fine. But when there's 15 treadmills, two of them are being used. I'm saying, honestly, two. Why do you stand next to somebody?
You know, that always happens too. There are people who don't understand the unspoken rules. Those are things you just don't do. And I think people don't understand, like, social cues, the social miscues on their part where the gym, perfect example. That's happened to me several times. I'm on a treadmill and they're all empty. Nobody's there. Why the fuck are you coming near me? Like, I don't care if it's a stinky, smelly guy or an attractive, nice smelling woman. You don't need to come near me. And the same, like, when you go into the bathroom, there's always, you got all these empty fucking stalls. We all know the code. You use the one that's not near anyone, but there'll be that one guy that wants to come next to you, whip his dick out and take a piss. And even in, like, a movie theater. Or, like, you know, people want to come sit near you. Like, all this open space. I don't know if it's deep down, this subliminally, like, want to fuck with you, or they just don't get it. But you obviously, you and I, being sometimes hot-headed, we both got better at that.
I'm not hot-headed. Would you stop saying I'm hot-headed? I'm actually the most easygoing person in the world these days.
You're just like, you're about to fucking kill a guy over him being next to you on a treadmill. Stop
it. I didn't say I was going to hurt him. Did I say I was going to flip on him? I was going to kindly recommend that he doesn't do that again.
What if you say, like, hey, buddy, why are you getting so close to all these empty treadmills? And what if he says, why don't you go fuck yourself? What are you going to do then? You're going to hurt him.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're going to say, excuse me, good sir. I'm going to leave now. La da 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 da. Bullshit. Either way, what do you honestly say at that point? Like, you know, excuse me, we have all this space. Why are you next to me? What are they going to say? Like, well, I'm not. What does it matter to you if I'm on this one or the one next to you? He's not touching you. Technically, in our mind, it's something that they need you, but they're not physically touching you.
You know what? Irritated me the most is not necessary that he came next to me, because I have been in the gym on other times when somebody has use the machine right next to me. Honestly, like, it happened, you know, a few weeks back, somebody did the same thing. You know, he got on treadmill number one and I'm just like, why? But I didn't mind it as much. This guy, I think what irritated me, stunk so bad.
Yeah, that's what it
that
is.
That I couldn't work out. So that's what I don't want to say. It's like, and I just want to talk about, like, the whole going next to each other thing. So the main focus or the main point of this was him stinking so bad, having to get right next to me. And I can't even speak, that he knew he smelled. Like, you can't smell that bad and not know. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's just, like, a certain thing that you have to know. And the whole getting up on you is cultural, by the way, because if you go to some other countries, you know, they have no regard for space, because just culturally they don't have the space. Because I've gone to places and I'm like, we're the only ones here. They're in line, you know, with us, like, over here, you're in line in the lobby waiting to, like, do an order or something. Like, you stand, like, as far back as possible. And, like, you said, up there, man, there could be nobody behind you. They're just, like, trained, right, to pack it in. And I'm just like, why are you bumping me? And then you understand when you're in some of these countries and stuff, that's cultural. So some of that stuff does come over, but I understand that. I don't want to be like that, you know, sound like that obnoxious about it. But so that was that. I just wanted to get the take on that.
Oh, that's a BLOS story. I haven't heard one of those in a while. All right, last but not least. It's I know. Well, we both been, you know, this shit going on in our lives. We got to keep this going every fucking week. Next thing you know, one of us falls off the planet. Last but not least, it is Halloween. Traditionally, you know, we have not had a podcast yet on Halloween because we started after this last year. But let's give the audience something. I know you have some topics, some stories, right?
And I got three of them.
Before we do that, And again, we didn't premeditate this. We didn't prearrange this. We didn't vet this out. We knew we wanted to talk about Halloween. You got some stuff. I have some stuff. I'm going to do what I've done to you once before. Fast fire. We'll get to this quick Halloween topics, and then we'll go into your little topic stories of Halloween too. But okay. A couple things I want to fire off to you, right? One, what do you think about, again, we don't leave a long response. What do you think about adults dressing for Halloween? I'm not saying parents dressing with their kids, going out on Halloween, going to a party, regardless of age, you're a full-blown adult. Do you think you should dress up and go to a Halloween costume party?
If that is what it is, I went to one last week, and I dressed up.
Okay. Yes.
I think, you know, an adult dressing up and participating in the celebration, there's nothing wrong with it. You're enjoying your life, have a good time, as long as you're not imposing on anybody.
I agree. It's a costume party. You could dress up for that. What do you think about those, I don't want to call them weirdos, but those weirdos that, like, on Halloween day, we'll throw on a costume to go into work, to go into the office. Do you think any grown adult should take it upon themselves to wear a costume to their place of business?
Again, it depends. Because I've worked with people in places that they've actually, the work promoted it and said, hey, we're going to have a Halloween contest, or hey, you know, best in the office or best in the section. If you're just doing it on your own, no.
Okay. I can't go walk in the streets tomorrow in a full-blown costume and say hello to people. Speaking of costumes, I feel like in this
PC, I should put my costume on. No, my costume,
you should have did it. What was it?
I actually wore it all week. And if you knew, like, the video, I actually wore it all week. I was so excited because I went to a Halloween party last Friday night and I wore the costume. I had like a little, I don't even have it here. I left it there. And then it's at my, I have a little princess hat. I had a little pink princess hat. And I had a unicorn.
You want it, yeah, as a transgender?
No, it was a guy. I had like one of those unicorns where your legs went in and like.
Oh, it looks like you're riding it.
And it looks like you're riding it. So I had a unicorn with a thing.
Why did you put that on? It surprised me. Why didn't you have that on?
If I had it here, I would have put it on because I did it for work. Like, I had a lot of video conferences last week. And I, like, one of the video conferences, I came onto the meeting, I was sitting on my unicorn. I was just like, what is that? Because that goes with what you were saying. But, yeah, I don't think you should wear costumes to work unless it's promoted as, like, just like going to a Halloween party, right? You go into a Halloween party, I would think the opposite. You go to someone's Halloween party, and they're saying, hey, we're going to have prizes for the best costume, the best this, and you don't wear a costume, you're the asshole. If you go into a party and you're the only one that dresses up, you might be a little weird.
So let me ask you this.
You do you.
You went to a Halloween costume party, right? So let me ask you this. In this age of Me Too and inclusivity and people being sensitive, did you see any, and if you did, please tell me what they were, anybody dressed up as something like, oh no, I can't believe they wore that, or it's too soon? Like, obviously there's a lot of like subby sometimes.
No.
The photos will show up of them like doing a blackface in the 80s, and now that's offensive. Or like Epstein, did he get murdered or did he commit suicide? Like a zombie Epstein. Like, there was a time where you could be like a zombie anybody, like a celebrity just died. Was it too soon for that costume? Like JonBenet Ramsey, no. She died.
I didn't see any of it.
Nobody does that.
I didn't see
anymore.
Any of those costumes. Well, everyone's just kind of too sensitive. So.
Yeah, but I miss that. I'm not going to lie. I miss offensive costumes. Like, there's always that one person that stands out. So back in my 20s, I got invited to a Halloween party. And I dressed up as a cow, but I put sunglasses on. And I was a hip-hop cow. I was very intoxicated, but I also wanted to walk around, let everybody know I was an offensive hip-hop cow. Because everybody I went up to, I would say, hey, pull my udder. And I would stick the udder in their face. I like pushing buttons. And there's no way I could do that today because I'd probably get arrested. But I feel like, do you think, if you can't think of any, do you think there's anything that anybody could dress up today that people will find offensive? Like, I think even something as simple as like dressing up as Donald Trump may offend certain people. And
I don't think in our world that we live in today, in our country, I don't think there is one thing that doesn't offend somebody because somebody, we promoted, it goes into the other thing. You have any more questions?
I had one more after this for Halloween. But yeah, I gotta finish that. Finish your thought.
No, it's gonna go into what I wanted to talk about, which we'll talk about after your question, was this whole rescheduling of Halloween. All these cities that are rescheduling Halloween. I wanna talk about that. Go ahead.
And trying to push it on like a weekend night too. We'll talk about that because a lot of people
Everyone's rescheduled for now, but now going forward, they also wanna do it the Saturday night of the week.
Yep.
And it can be a town thing because it's not a national holiday. Yeah. It's not a, it's not a state holiday, nor is it a federal holiday. Therefore, each individual town can make its own rules up.
You know, we'll talk about that because I want to talk about how we grew up in costumes and trick-or-treating, right? Now,
I had this conversation today with somebody. Go ahead.
I did too. I had it at one of our team meetings. Last but not least, because it is that time of the year and I feel like nobody makes really good horror movies anymore. We had that uptick a little while ago, about 10, 15 years ago of, you know, Blair Witch, found footage, Paranormal Activity. That was like it went up. Then this guy, Blumhouse came in. He's making all these low-budget horror movies, but they're not really scary. What is, you think, the all-time top three scary Halloween movies that you could still sit through and enjoy? Or maybe you would be like, oh, you never saw this? Whether it's like a kid or a friend or a girl, what are your top three Halloween movies?
Man, scary movies. I don't even know.
In this day and age, because you and I are close to the same generation, what would you watch? Man,
I don't watch those types
of movies. What scared the shit out of you maybe even as a kid?
The scariest movie when I was a kid was The Elephant Man, but that's not a Halloween.
That fucked me up too. You're right. That wasn't you, but when I saw him, that scared me as a little kid too. My mother made me watch that. My mother made me watch, this is my top, The Exorcist. And growing up Catholic, like I always thought I was going to hell. I thought I was going to get possessed.
The Exorcist. See, I watched all those, and I don't have any memories of like my top, to be honest with you. Like
original, you know, Halloween. Original Nightmare on Elm Street.
I saw all those. I saw Nightmare on Elm Street. I loved Nightmare on Elm Street.
The original.
I don't get into like horror movies. I get into more suspenseful movies, which I want to tell you about a couple things I watched on Netflix recently too, by the way.
All right. We'll have time. If we can't get into that,
I can't. You tell me the three movies. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, it would have to be, I just, again, growing up the way I did, I would say The Exorcist was always number one. And I would say Nightmare on Elm Street is a distant number two because only The Exorcist is really scary. I always had this thing about, I talked about on the podcast, it's the monster that you can see and the one that you can't see and like that darkness. And recently, finally, a couple years ago, I think last year, 2 years ago, Hereditary came out. That movie was a complete mind fuck.
Yeah, it is. I think a lot of the movies, and this is why I don't like the horror blood, like the Saw type movies.
I agree.
Like the suspenseful type movies.
So that was mine. I know you got some Halloween topics, but do you want to jump into that rescheduling?
Yeah, I wanted to just talk about because, like, you know, everybody is moving Halloween to Saturday because of the weather tomorrow.
You know, right? Let's pause that before we get into that.
When so I was they're a not kid, doing it because at first people were saying we need to move Halloween to the weekend because kids want to go to bed and they don't want to be up late. They want to be able to enjoy it. And now it's like it's going to rain. It's almost like canceling school like 5 days before the snowstorm comes.
All right.
But here, they don't want the kids to get wet. And well, I know that people will say it's a safety issue. No, bullshit.
All right. We grew up in Boston, New England area, right? When we were kids. Let's go back to 83, 84, 85, 6, 7, 8-year-old little T. When we went out, when my mother took me out, when my father was in the can, it fell on a fucking weekday. You knew you were going to be tired at school the next day. You knew you were wearing a shitty costume, the plastic mask with a little rubber band that would snap. You get hot, sweaty, you cut up your face. You just wear it on the top of your head. You just walk up to a door like, yo, give me my fucking candy. And in this weather, you never knew every year what you're going to get. 1 year, it would be hot. 1 year, it would be freezing. 1 year, you might even go out in fucking snow. 1 year, it was raining. But guess what? Rain, snow, shine. You were out trick-or-treating on October 31st. Didn't matter if it was a fucking Tuesday, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. That's Halloween.
I remember going out in the snow.
Me too.
A couple times. And wearing a winter coat, and you have a costume, and you're like, you're all pissed off because I have to wear a winter coat.
So in this sensitive era, what you're bringing up to me, and I've also heard this too, even though I'm not a fucking parent, I hear all the people at work talking about it. There are towns that, yeah, because of the weather, but even more so what I heard was that they want to officially make it town by town, state by state, the last Saturday of the fucking month in October.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because it takes away from the whole traditional Halloween. And I just can't believe they're moving it. And somebody said something. They said, what they say?
Is it official? Said, like you heard it in some towns? They're moving it?
Oh yeah. Look all around. They moved it because of the weather. They didn't move it because of, they moved it this, look in the news. They moved it this year because of the weather, not because they want to go to the last Saturday of the month because of everybody else, because some towns do actually move it. Like, you know, there's not a lot of publicity on it.
But well, that's what I mean. When you say bang, like, I don't know what Boston neighborhoods, I don't think they've moved it at all. But we're going to get rain tomorrow night. So I don't know.
There's a number of, I'll tell you all the cities and towns.
That's fucking nuts.
To go with everybody picking it. But it's just like somebody said, I saw somebody say today, they said, in this world where we give everybody a trophy, they said you should give the kids who go out trick-or-treating tomorrow night a trophy for going in the rain when all the other pansies can't. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
Our era, like immediately once you hit like 12, 13, you stopped wearing the costume. And when I grew up in East Boston, we went egging. You started painting your face, covering yourself in a garbage bag. You got dozens of eggs. You threw them at people, threw them at each other, threw them at houses. You got shaving cream. Like, you went into that state where you weren't like going to make some kids cause damage. No, you shouldn't do that
either. Like, that's just wrong. See, this is what's wrong with our society. People cannot have nice things and do things. Just because you grew up that way does not mean it's okay. You should actually be doing more than what you're doing now to try to change our
youth. I didn't say it was okay.
Nice. To be nicer to each other, to not vandalize things. Nobody can have nice things because people like you throw fucking eggs and throw fucking shaving cream and push people down and steal the candy. That is so wrong. You promote that.
As an adult now, if anybody ever threw an egg or put shaving cream on my fucking car, I would lose my shit. So I don't think you should be doing that. But as kids, we did that. So I'm trying to compare that to now. I'm talking about a generation that went out in the cold, in the rain, in the snow, to later grew up to throwing eggs at each other, to now they're going to fucking move the day because of a little bit of fucking rain. You know where this also came from? In this area, the past couple of winters, it got too cold and they'll cancel in school. We had to get like 3 feet of fucking snow. But now it got to a certain temperature. They don't want the kids going outside. Again, we're very soft in this era. Everybody is soft. Everybody's a fucking pussy, basically. And I don't think you should be moving Halloween. That is fucking nuts to me.
Yeah, I agree with you. 100%. Bang. Down. Okay.
What else you got for Halloween? Did you go to Salem? Did you make it down to Salem? Up to Salem?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I wanted to tell you that, too. Know what I did? I went – I was going to ask you about Salem. You go to Salem for Halloween?
I've been a bunch of years growing up around here and going, and my cousins do kettle corn. I used to go help them out, but my girl never been. We were going to do it when we came back from vacation. We just, had too much going on that day. So, no, I didn't go this year.
I hadn't gone. I couldn't even remember, but I did go a couple years ago. I didn't go last year, I don't believe. I don't know. Was it last year?
No, you sent me. Anyway. You had the cape stuff. Remember, you sent me pictures.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago when I had my Celtic cape that I bought that I still have, my Bethune cape, and I came up with a name for it. But I did go this year. It's just too much for me. All the people. I mean, I go. You have a good time. I mean, people have all the costumes. It's just like so crowded. But what I did do, I like going, and this is what I like to do. I did go. We went over there, and we did the Satanic tour. They had how they have like all the tours. You go there on Halloween, everybody has all these tours.
The witch houses, the House of Seven Gables.
Yeah. The years ago I had gone and we didn't do anything formal, but we went to like the Witch Museum. I love learning about that stuff. I mean, even afterwards, like I started watching a whole bunch of like witch stuff about the trials and all this other stuff. And what we did this time on the Satanic tour, and it's not like the Satanic tour, like, it's the whole like Satanic church, the headquarters moved to Salem. And all this other stuff, and people start talking about, you learn a little bit about it. It's not really like these people who worship the devil, right? Mm-hmm. It's not really these people who worship, evil. It's just these people who don't believe in praising a god, right? But we went on the tour, and I love doing that type of stuff because you learn so much more when you're walking around Salem and someone's giving you a guided tour. But it wasn't about, it was like a twist about, pointing out how the Puritans really weren't that nice of people. They're a bunch of freaking assholes.
Yep.
Because, look what they, and then the whole witch trials and stuff like that. So it was actually a really good time. I enjoyed it. And I think, I want to go back to Salem and do more of that type of stuff to get more of the history because I love learning about the history of, New England and the areas. Just like one time I had gone on the Boston duck tours. Have you done the duck tour?
Yeah.
I thought the duck tour is great because they give you those types of things. You go to these cities that, you live, I want to say, you live there. You live in, you visit, you spend so much time in, you take for granted, and you get to learn the actual history. You have such a greater appreciation for it. I have a greater appreciation for Salem.
Yeah,
on top of all that stuff.
like the Salem tour, and again, like you, I agree, there's a world of difference between what actually went down with the witch trials and paganism and how the Puritans work, as opposed to like what Hollywood did with witchcraft. And there's totally fucking different worlds. But you're only as good as like your tour guide in something like the duck tour. Your driver will fill you in on a lot of facts and take you to areas depending on how good your driver is. Like us in Napa, we went for these wine tastings. We learned a lot more about not just the wine, but that vineyard and that winery. You're only as good as the person on the tour teaching you about how wine gets made and the history of like Napa Valley or Sonoma. But I think you're right. In this era where you and I just are naturally inquisitive. We like being knowledgeable. We're like sponges. We like learning about a lot of things. We like forming opinions too. I think a lot of people don't appreciate that. Like I was saying that to my girl on vacation. I like vacations where I could learn something. I could see things, and I could also basically, again, I can't sit on a beach and relax. So like I like doing that too. Even if it's a day trip somewhere, I like absorbing information. So I respect what you're saying, because I'm the same fucking way when every time I go to something. I can't just go to Salem just to eat fucking candy apples and fucking, oh, look at that person in a costume. I want to learn something out of that too, whether it's a different tour.
I want to learn out of it. Like, it's just too many people. Like, you go in there and you look at all these, like, you know, like you learn the history of how it built up to be like a witch town and stuff like that. Where it's really not a witch. Like, they get the witch all over the place and the witches, but it's really, you know, it was the show Bewitched that turned it into being what it is today, right? Yeah. They ended up having that fire, and then they ended up having to do the filming in Salem, and then she was over there, and then that turned into a witch town because of that. Not necessarily because of the history of Salem, but it just brought all this focus and attention to it. And then they started talking about like all the witches and all this other stuff. It's kind of pretty interesting. Remember, I wouldn't mind going back, like I said, to get more knowledge when there's not so many people, because you go into all those stores and all these like foo-foo crazy things that people believe. And, you know, you want to be able to absorb it more without a billion people being around you.
Well, you know, it's something funny. What I did do, Salem related, kind of what we did when we stayed in, because we were just spent from our vacation, wanted to relax a little bit. I've only seen this once, and I think I was 16 when it came out, because we decided to do the math when it came out. And my girl's a big fan of this Hocus Pocus, that Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, Kathy Najami, three witch sisters. It's I forgot because I only saw it once when I was younger. It's based in Salem. They actually filmed it in Salem as well too. And I'm like, this dopey early 1990s, I think it was 1993, Disney movie. Also, it was a Disney's take on witchcraft, though. And if you watch it, there's some subliminal shit in it that Disney would never do today. Like,
Heard more about that movie than I have this year. And it's not – when we went to Salem, they did talk about it on the tour where they filmed, like, the town hall and stuff like that. They talked about the film Hocus Pocus. But I went to, like, a pumpkin festival a couple weeks ago, and we were talking there, and someone said, oh, that's my favorite movie. I'm like, Hocus Pocus, I've yet to see it.
You never seen it? So, I mean, even a Disney movie, like, the whole – and I won't give much away if you have a desire to watch it. It's truly a fucked up
movie. I'm going to watch it. I have to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
But watching it now, I remember seeing it when – again, I was 16 when it came out, and so I was a teenager, so I knew about all the shit. But, again, I haven't seen it since then. The boy is 15 years old. To get the witches back, the three sisters, a candle has to be lit by a virgin. So a big undertone is what a virgin is to light the candle. And this is Disney addressing this. So back in the early 90s, they would put that in the movies. They would never fucking do that today. They're so PC today, but I didn't realize that was like an underlying theme in Hocus Pocus, that a virgin had to get this whole fucking thing going. So
yeah,
all right, Bilo. We got to Halloween.
There's one thing, Disney, I signed up for Disney Plus today for a year.
All right, so I think you could sign up just for regular Disney Plus, but I want to do the $12.99 package because I want the UFC fights. I don't have to order the pay-per-views anymore. So if you do the $12.99, you get Disney, you get ESPN, and you get Hulu. So I don't know. I didn't think you could do the early ones. So did you just get Disney Plus by itself?
Yeah, I did Disney Plus by itself. So that's November 12th. Hulu's going to die. We have to talk about this whole thing because everyone's coming out with their stuff now.
HBO Hulu, Max. Hulu. It's a whole new world, man.
That's what they're saying, man, because now what's going to happen? You got the Netflix, and it's all going to be about the content. Disney, they're saying, they're predicting, like, every household in America will have Disney because Disney has more content than anybody at this
point. Oh, yeah.
You know, not to say that Netflix doesn't have great content, because all I watch is Netflix if I watch TV at this point, and now I watch Spanish. We'll have to talk about that, too. I watch Spanish channels in my house if I watch TV.
I got some of your Snap videos. I was totally fucking confused. I thought I was watching Telemundo. I don't know what's happening with the shit you're sending me. I want to end this on a Halloween note, but real quick, we're going to talk about it. I had a lot going on. I know you had a lot going on. Don't give anything away. Did you, because I didn't watch it yet, did you watch Peaky Blinders season 5 yet?
Not yet. No. Wow. I finished up a couple other things. I'm going to watch it because I want to watch. Yes, I'm going to watch it.
I'm not going to get to it till like mid-November. I got some days put aside that I can focus on it.
Yeah, I have a few things going on right now, and I'm going to get to it in November. I have a few things coming up that I was going to download and take it with me when I don't have...
Good, all right, so we'll make it fresh. So the later you and I both watch it, we'll dedicate some time to it on the podcast. All right, B-Lo, it's been a while, brother. I'm glad we got to catch up. Happy Halloween. Don't fucking kill any
Happy Halloween. Don't go egging anybody.
All right,
shaving cream at anybody. Peace out.